Begin the current daven, Masechtas Makis, daf Yud Ches. Begin the five lines down from the top of the Yemen, where the Gemara returns to a teaching that was mentioned at the end of the previous daf, because it was related to the halacha of Reb Shimon, which the beginning of Reb Shimon's halacha proved a point of the same halacha as our Mishnah, that regarding Bikurim, that Kriya, even not just Hanacha, placing it in front of the Mizbeach is Ma'akev, but even the Kriya, Saparsha, is Ma'akev, and if someone eats from the Bikurim, from the first fruits of the seven fruits of Eretz Yisrael, which are brought up to the Beis HaMikdash before the Parsha is read, one will get lashes. So Gufa, the teaching that was said in the previous daf was Amar Rava, he said, Azar, a non-kain, Sha'ocha min ha'oila, who eats from a carbon oila, which all of it's supposed to be sacrificed on Mizbeach, and he eats from the meat of that carbon, lefnei zrika, before the blood is thrown, chutz l'chayma, outside of Yerushalayim, l'Rib Shimon, like a chamesh, as we explained in the previous daf, according to Rib Shimon, there's going to be five sets of lashes. One is going to be because he's eating it out of the wall of Yerushalayim, which we know is a kal v'chomer from Meiser. One is because it's being eaten before the blood is thrown, which we know is a kal v'chomer from Tayyid and Shlam. And this all learned from the same pasuk of Lesucha Lecha B'Sherecha. One is because he's a non-kain even after the blood is thrown, which we know is a kal v'chomer from B'chayr, for sure in this case where the blood wasn't even thrown yet. One is because he's eating it outside of the curtains of the Mishkan, which are known as a kal v'chomer from Chatzis and Ashim. And one is because he's eating a carbon oila, which even a kohen, even in the kloim, is not allowed to eat, for sure, a zar out of the kloim and out of Yerushalayim. Therefore, there's going to be five sets of lashes, which we'd explain from Rashi at the end of this previous staff on the top of this amid, that it would be five isur. But the Gemara asks, V'lukinami mishum, there should be another. Why is there only five sets of lashes? There should be a sixth one. Based on the pasuk in Shemos, it says, V'zar lo yoichel ki kodeshim. A non-kohen should not eat them because they're holy. Which this was written in the parasha of Miluim, which is the inauguration of the Mishkan when they first was putting it up. So there were certain karbanas that were brought. So it says that a non-kohen should not eat them. Why? Ki kodeshim, because they're holy. So it sounds like it's explaining, because they're kachi kachim, that's why it's prohibited for a zar. It sounds like that any kachi kachim is prohibited, which oila is a kachi kachim. It's from the higher category of kabanas. So this should be a sixth lav that should be violated by someone who eats an oila, which is part of that whole case that Rav had described. Says Gemara, no. What you would learn from this pasuk is, yes, this would be a lav only if a zar would eat something, like a kachi kachim, like was by the miluim, which is fit for the kahanim, because that's what it says in the beginning of that pasuk. It says, "Va'achlo oisim asher kupa b'hem." The ones who the atonement came through them, which are the kahanim, they're the ones who eat these kachi kachim, which is saying, but a non-kohen should not eat them. Hacha del kahanim nami leichazi. In contrast, over here, where even a kohen is not fit to eat a carbon oil because it's totally burnt on the mizbeach, that would not be applicable for this lav. It would only be types of kachi kachim that the kahanim do eat, then a zar who eats it would get this lav, in contrast to an oila. So the Gemara asks, but there should be a different lav. V'lulki nami mishum, there should be a malchus of also what it says in Shemais, uvasar basad de treifa leisechilu, which actually we had mentioned from Rashi, which he concluded that, not like the pashtus, the simple understanding of the end of the Gemara on the top of this amud in the previous staff, that we know the five lavin of Reb Shimon from the pasuk of Lesucha Lecha B'Sherecha, because each one's not necessary, as we explained. He says, actually, the halacha of our Mishnah of eating kachi kachim out of the kloim is actually learned from this pasuk that we're going to teach. It's just that we're going to show that by an oila that doesn't apply, although oila is a kachi kachim, but this lav would not apply. But that's what the Gemara is asking. The case that Rabbi described should violate this pasuk in Shemais. It says, the literal translation is, uvasar basad treifa, basad basad treifa leisechelu, that a piece of meat that in the field is mold, meaning it's not kosher, leisechilu, one should not eat it. But the drush, the interpretation, exposition of this words of the pasuk is, ki mishayatza basa chutz lemechitzasei neser. Once meat leaves the boundaries that it's allowed to be in, it automatically becomes forbidden. How do we know that from this pasuk? Because although it's talking about non-kosher meat, but the word sada seems superfluous. What does it mean? It should just say basa treifa leisechilu. Why does it say basada? To say, just like a field that has no boundaries, that's what we're saying, that when it's not in the boundaries, then it's forbidden. Which is from this pasuk, which Chazal learned, that a kachi kachim that went out of the kloim, went beyond its boundaries, becomes forbidden. And also, a fetus that stuck its hands out from its mother at the time of slaughtering, which it left the boundaries, is also forbidden. But one thing we see is that this applies to the carbon oil, which was taken out of the kloim, out of the chaymesh, should for sure have this lav of Why is Rava saying only five? There should be six lashes. Says the Gemara, Hanami lehecha de bifnim mechazi. That's only if, when it's inside its perimeter, in its boundaries, then it's permitted. Then if you take it out, then it's forbidden. Hacha de bifnim, nama lechazi. Here the carbon oily, even inside the kolam is forbidden, because no one's allowed to eat it. So therefore, the case of oily would not be applicable for this pasuk. Yeah, other types of kachay kachim would have that prohibition of this law, but the case that Rava was describing was the carbon oily, that would not be applicable for this pasuk. But the Gemara asks a third question. But there should be another set of lashes for like what we learned from Rabbi Yezer. Dom Rabbi Yezer, he says, the Pasuk says, in Shemais Perichav Tes, it says that Vim Yivasim Mipsaha Malum, if you can have leftover from the meat of these karbanis which were brought by the Malum, by the inauguration, it says, Lo Yeochel Ki Kaidishu, that it should not be eaten because it's holy. Which we continue to Amid Beis, what is the Pasuk teaching us? That Kol Shebe Kaidish Pasul, anything that is something that's holy, that's Pasul, which is like the case of Naisa, which is left over. Bahakos of Litan Laisis al-Khalasai. It's coming to give you a negative prohibition for consuming it. Because by Naisa, although it's told by a certain category of Naisa, but it tells you why it's a problem of eating it. Don't eat it because it's holy. So it sounds like because it's holy and it's puzzle, that's why there's a prohibition. So to old kachim that became puzzle, which includes a carbon like oil, which went beyond its boundary, it was kaidish that became puzzle, has this lav. It should be another set of lashes. That's only something that before became puzzle, it was fit to be eaten like nicer. Before became puzzle, there's in time and space. In time, nicer was permitted before that. Before became puzzle, it was fit. But here, even before it became possible, meaning before it left its boundaries, it was still not fit for anyone to eat it. Because even in the klayim, even in the Beis HaMikdash itself, it still has to be totally sacrificed, no one could eat it. And therefore, that would not be applicable to learn the prohibition of a non-kohen eating oila from that pasuk. But the Gemara asks the fourth question. But there should still be another set of lashes, like a different teaching of Rabbi Eliezer. Because Tanya learned the Brice, Rabbi Eliezer, I mean, he says, anything that which regarding it the Torah says that it should be totally burnt, what's it coming to teach you? It's coming to tell you that there's a negative prohibition regarding its consumption because the Pasuk is saying, don't eat from it. What is that coming to say? Because anything that should be kolal, like a carbon oila, is saying that you're not allowed to eat from it. So you see clearly there's another set of lashes for something like an oila, which is kolal, that it says that it says in the pasuk loy stoichel, don't eat it. Says the Gemara, enachanami. You're right. One would get in the case that Rava described. One would get another set of lashes, a sixth set of lashes for this pasuk. But for Rava, mehai krah kama. Rava was coming from the pasuk of Reb Shimon, which recorded in the previous daf, which it says a whole bunch of items, nedvasecha and nederecha and bekarcha tzancha. So all these terms from that pasuk, which Reb Shimon learned out, all these cases which we had said in the previous daf. Which in the Havamina we thought it was a Kavochema, based on each one, there's a level going up each one. In that halacha, that's where we learn out these five Yisurim that would apply to this case that Rava had made up regarding a Karban Ayla that was a Zar, and out of the Chayim, and out of the Klum, and so on and so forth. It's regarding that you're going to have five, but yeah, there's going to be a sixth one from a different pasuk. Nothing more continues in a related discussion, which we had been speaking about with this Brisa of Reb Shimon and Rava talking about that halacha regarding different types of karbanis regarding the isurim that apply uniquely to them. So Amrav Gidl Maravi says, Simen Kuza, which is a mnemonic for, like the Chaf is the first one, Kayin, these halachas that the Gemara is going to discuss, Kayin she'ochel mechatzis va'ashem lefnei zrike. If a Kayin, who's allowed to eat it from a karban mechatzis nashem, but he's supposed to eat only after the blood is thrown, if he eats from the meat of a karban mechatzis nashem before the blood is thrown, says Rav Gidl Marav, loike. He gets lashes. Ask the Gemara, my timer. Because the Amakra, the Pasuk says in Shemais, that those who had brought the karbanis and the atonement had come through them, they're the ones who eat the meat of those karbanis. But what would we learn from the pasuk? It says asher kupa behem, that the atonement came through them, which teaches us la'acha kapara in the primary atonement is through the throwing the blood on the mizbeach. Yet after the atonement, then they eat it. Lafnei kapara lai, but before the atonement, then they're not allowed to eat from it. Now lava ba machlal say lavu says this teaching Rav Gidl Marav. A negative prohibition that's inferred from the wording of a positive commandment has the status as a negative prohibition. And just like any negative prohibition, if you violate, you get lashes. Here too, the Kohen's going to get lashes. However, Masa Rava asks on that and contradicts this teaching that halav abo machal say has the status as a lav. Rather, has the status as an asay. Why? He asks, as we learn the pasuk in Devarim, the pasuk says, "V'chol behema mafreses parsa, any animal that has split hooves, v'shoisas shesas shtei parsas, is totally split into two separate hooves, which is the feet of the animal. Malas gerev behema, which is the other kosher sign, which is that, and it brings up its cud. Isas echelu, that's the type of animal that's kosher that you're allowed to eat, which teaches us isas echelu, that type of animal you could eat. Vehim behema acher echelu, but you can't eat any other animal, meaning a non-kosher animal that does not have these two signs are forbidden. Now says Rabbi, you see from here that alav abo machal say, a negative prohibition that's inferred from this positive commandment of what you could eat, has the halachic status as nasei and not a loisasei. Why? Because v'ikad da'akam, if you're going to say like you said, that alav abo machal asei is a lav, so when the pasuk says, ezel loitechei lulamali, why does it have to say, and these ones you shouldn't eat? I already know. And I already know it like a negative prohibition because I already know it inferred from the positive commandment. Rather, obviously, that alav abo machal asei is nasei, and therefore the halacha that you brought down, actually the kohen would not get lashes if based on the inference of this pasuk of achlois hashakubahem, because that only has the halacha halachic status as a nasei. Ella rather says the Gemara, iitmar hachi iitmar. If you want to teach the teaching of Gidl Morav, you have to say it as follows. I'm Rav Gidl Morav. It says, Zar sha'ochel michatas va'ashm lefnei zrika. If a non-kain, not a kain as in the previous version, if a non-kain, that ate from the meat of a chatas and ashm lefnei zrika before the blood was thrown, and not like the first version had it that he would get lashes, pater, he's going to be exempt. So not only are we not talking about a kain, we're talking about a zar, and that he's not going to get lashes, actually going to be exempt. My time, what's the reason? Because the Amakra, the Pasuk says, the same Pasuk, but it's going to be expounded in a different way. That the ones who the atonement came through, they're the ones who eat, which refers to the kohen, they're the ones who eat the meat of the carbon. Tells the Gemara, Kol Hecha de Karinin Bey, wherever you recite regarding the Pasuk has two parts. Whenever you say that the ones who the atonement came through them, they eat it, that's what Karina, that's where you would recite the other part of the pasuk, that Vizar lo yoichel ki kaidashem, that a non-kohen should not eat it because it's holy. That's the end of that pasuk. Now, cholhecha dole Karina beva achlo yis asher kubabem, but wherever you're not going to say the words of the pasuk that the ones who the atonement came through should eat it, meaning when it's before the Zrikas Adam, where even the kohen cannot eat it because he did not make the atonement yet by throwing the blood, then you don't recite regarding it the prohibition of the non-kohen. He does not have the thrust of a negative prohibition on eating the meat of the carbon, and therefore the zar lefnei zrikas damim is going to be pater, he's not going to get lashes. Going back to what started this whole discussion from Daf Yud Zayin Mid Aleph, regarding the first halacha that opened up our previous Mishnah, regarding the halachas of Bikurim, Omer B'loz Omer B'hishya. Says Bikurim, the first fruits that a person takes from his crop, the first seven fruits, the first fruits that have the Shivas Aminim, that brings up to Yerushalayim, gives it to the Kohen. Hanocha Me'akeves Ben, putting them down in front of the Mizbech, which is part of the service, that's intrinsic for this service. Kriya in Me'akeves Ben, but although there's a mitzvah to recite the Parsha of Rami Abedavi, that's not Me'akev, that does not withhold the validity of that, of the halacha of fulfilling Bikur. On that, as the Gemara, Mi'am Rebelaza Hachi, did he really say this? But Vam Rebelaza Amr Rebelaza, he said the following halacha. Rebelaza said, Hifrish bikurim koidim l'chag. If someone separated his first fruits before Sukkot, now already at that point in time there was an obligation of reciting the parasha of Rami Ovid Avi. Now, but then v'avar alein l'chag, but he didn't yet bring it. He got delayed, and already Sukkot passed him by. Which after Sukkot, one is not able to recite the parasha of Rami Ovid Avi anymore. So says Rabbi Loza, seyir kavu. So then the fruits have to be left to rot. Now the reason is again because Bikurim before Sukkot, one recites the parasha of Bikurim. After Sukkot, he doesn't. The reason for that is because after in the parasha where it talks about the kriya of the parasha Bikurim Arami Avir Avi, and it says the whole parasha, it says, V'samachtu b'chol ha'tayvi, you should rejoice in all the good that Hashem gave you. Now from Shavuos till Sukkot is a time of rejoicing, because it's a time of gathering in the produce. Then he brings the Bikurim and he recites the parasha. From Sukkot until Chanukah, then the Mishnah Bikurim says in the first parak that he brings the Bikurim, but he does not recite the parasha of Bikurim. So therefore, since here it was fit to be recited because he had picked it before Sukkot, now that it's already after Sukkot, he can't recite anymore, so he has to leave it to rot. Says the Gemara, and this is Rabbi Elazar who taught us, my love, mishum dole moti l'mikra alei, and isn't the reason why he has to be left to rot, is because, because he can't recite anymore, the Parsha Bikurim, which you had the obligation because you already separated them before Sukkot. Says the Gemara, but if you're going to say like the first teaching of Belazar, that he said that only Hanukkah is Ma'akev, but reciting the Parsha Bikurim is not Ma'akev, why is it going to be left to rot? Who cares? Even if you had the obligation, now you can't do it anymore, but it's not Ma'akev. So why should it be left to rot? Why can't you bring it up to Yerushalayim, to the Beis HaMikdash? Says the Gemara, truthfully, when it's, let's say, before Sukkot, when you could still recite the Parsha Bikurim, and you don't, then it's not Ma'akev. But regarding these fruits, which already passed its time, and now you cannot, it's not fit anymore to recite the Parsha Bikurim, then, paradoxically, the Kriya is Ma'akev. Why? Could Reb Zera? Because the Amr Reb Zera says, it's brought regarding a halacha, Mesachtes Menachas, Daf Kof Gimel Beis, the mission there teaches, if someone takes a neder and he says, I'm going to bring 61 Esroinim, which is a certain measurement of flour of a mincha to the Beis HaMikdash, he brings 60 in one vessel and the other one in another vessel. Why? Because up until 60, the flour could be mixed very well in one vessel, but 61, the Chacham understand that it can be mixed so well. To which the Gemara asks, who cares? If it's not mixed well, the Mishnah taught us that if it's not mixed at all, it's going to be kosher. To which Reb Zera had answered, and he said, yes, but there's a fundamental difference. Kol haroy labilo, whatever's fit to be mixed, as it could be mixed, which is 60 and under, then ein bila ma'akevus, but then actually the mixing is not even ma'akev, you don't have to do it. But v'chol she'ein roi labila, whatever you cannot do bila, you can't even mix it because it's over 60, let's say 61, then bila ma'akevus, but then actually the bila, the mixing actually withhold the validity, and therefore that's not going to be kosher in 61. And that's the same concept we're talking about over here. Yes, kriya is not ma'akev, like the first halacha of Rebbe Elazar taught. But if it was already chayiv, and then it passed sukkahs, well, now you can't anymore? Now it's not royal kriya, then the kriya is ma'akev. Now Rabbi Acha bar Yaakov Masnila, he taught this first halacha of Rabbi Elazar in the name of Rabbi Yishya, kid Rabbi Asi om Rabbi Yechanan. He taught it that it was Rabbi Asi who said it in the name of Rabbi Yechanan. Now since he had this first halacha in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, v'kashle Rabbi Yechanan, Rabbi Yechanan, so now he had a different contradiction, since it wasn't Rabbi Elazar teaching, it was Rabbi Yechanan, a contradiction in Rabbi Yechanan's opinion. Is it true that Rabbi Yechanan says that only the placing of the Bikurim is Ma'akev, but the reciting is not Ma'akev? But Rabbi Asi asked Rabbi Yechanan the following question. From when is the first fruits that were brought to the Kohanim permitted for them to start eating it? But Amalei Rabbi Yechanan said to him, well, it depends. The Bikurim that are fit to have the Parsha Bikurim set over then, which is from Shavuos until Sukkot, Mishakar Nalein. When after the owner says the Parsha Bikurim, then the Kohen could eat it. V'she'ein ruin l'kriya, if it's not fit for the Parsha Bikurim to be recited over them, which is after Sukkot until Hanukkah, then it's Mishiro p'nei abayis. Then from the moment that it's brought into the Azara, even if it wasn't even placed down before the Mizbeach, it's already could be eaten by the Kohanim. Says the Gemara, we have a double contradiction. Kasha Kriya Kriya. We have the contradiction where the first teaching of Yechanan said that Kriya is not Ma'akev. The second teaching said that if Kriya could be done, then it is Ma'akev. And we have Kasha Hanacha Hanacha. We have a difficulty. The first teaching said that Hanacha is Ma'akev. The second teaching said that no, if you can't do Kriya, the moment you come to the Azara, Kriya to be eaten by the claim. Says the Gemara, Kriya Kriya Lekasha. No difficulty regarding the two contradictory halachas of Rabbi Yechanan regarding reciting the parasha of Bikurim, if that's Ma'akev or not, because each one was going like a different Tana. Ha, Rabbi Shimon, the second teaching of Rabbi Yechanan was going according to Rabbi Shimon, which you quoted on the previous daf, that he said that, like the halacha of our Mishnah, that Kriya is Ma'akev. Ha, Rabbanan, this first teaching of Rabbi Yechanan was going like the Rabbanan, who we had said that Rabbanan disagreed with Rabbi Shimon and say that Kriya is not Ma'akev. Hanocha inamalei kasha, also the halacha, if hanocha is ma'akev, and that is also not difficult. Ha, Rabbi Yehuda, the second teaching is that Rabbi is going like Rabbi Yehuda, who holds hanocha is not ma'akev. Now the reason that is because the extra word v'hinachtei, not like the Chacham who say it says two times v'hinachtei, which generally in the halachas of kachim, when you repeat something twice, it says it's ma'akev. He says the extra word v'hinachtei is coming to teach a different halacha, as the Gemara is going to shortly explain, of tenufa. So therefore, it's not repeating it by Hanocha to say it's Ma'akiv. So therefore, Hanocha is not Ma'akiv. V'ha Rabbanan. And the first teaching that said that Hanocha is Ma'akiv is going like Rabbanan, who they do not expound the word, the second V'inachtoi regarding Tenufa. And therefore, they need it to say that, okay, it seems like Hanocha is mentioned twice, to say that it's Ma'akiv. Which the Gemara says, Ma'ayi Behuda, what's his teaching, Rabbi Behuda? The Tanakh Lina B'raisa. Behuda, I mean, he says, the Pasuk says in Devarim, which this is what the person says when he comes to the Beis HaMikdash. Here, behold, I've come, I've brought the first of my fruits of the ground which you have given to me, Hashem. And the Pasuk says, V'hinachte, and he places it down in front of Hashem, your God, and he bows down in front of Hashem, your God. What does it mean, V'hinachte, that he puts it down? Says Rabbi Yehuda, Zutunufu. This actually refers to the elevation, which when they pick it up, part of the service of Tanufa. How do you see then the word V'hinachte? So Rashi actually says, you read it, the same letters, V'hinchisai. Like we find the pasuk V'leinichem Elikim, which is a term of direction, that he directs it into the four different directions and up and down, which is the service of Tanufa. To which Rabbi Yehuda says, Ata'ima Zutunufu, do you really say that this word V'hinachte means the elevation service? Maybe it means like the word usually is translated as putting it down. And that says Rabbi Yehuda, but Kishuayim, when the Pasuk said earlier, V'hinicha, he puts it down, Hariya Nochama, we already mentioned the Pasuk about putting it down. Hamani Mekayim V'hinachte, what am I going to fulfill with this word V'hinachte? Sutunuf, that refers to the elevation. So again, therefore, we don't have a repetition on Hanocha according to Rabbi Yehuda, so it's not Ma'akif. Now, says the Gemara, Man Tana de Poligla Rabbi Yehuda, and who's the Tana who disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda and holds that Hanocha is Ma'akif, like the first teaching of Rabbi Yechanan? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakovi, who he learns that the Allah of Tanufa from a different pasuk. So he's not going to say the second V'hinachte is teaching you Tanufa, and therefore it's extra to teach Hanocha twice to say that it's Ma'akif. The Tana Glenn Abraisa, the pasuk that says earlier before, it says, V'lokach ha-koyin ha-tenem yodecha, the koyin takes the basket from your hand. Lima, this teaches Ala Bikurim Shatun Tanufa, Divri B'li Ezra Yaakov, that the Bikurim have to be lifted up. That's where he learns, the koyin takes from your hand and they lift it up together. So you see, he learns a tenufa from a different pasuk. Must mean this v'hinachto is a repetition on hanocha. So the Gemara explains, my time in Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, what do you see from the word v'lokach ha-koyin ha-tenem midecha that regarding the halacha of bikurim, that it needs tenufa? Says the Gemara, asi yad yad mishlam. He learns that out of gzeir shavma from, it says hand over here, and it says hand by the carbon shlam. Ksev ach, it says over here, v'lokach ha-koyin ha-tenem midecha, the koyin takes the basket from your hand. Oksev, it says, apasim v'yikra yodav tiviyena es isha Hashem, his hand should bring the fiery carbon of Hashem. Now, you learn from each one. Makan kain, just like over here by Bikurim, it's referring to the kain, saying the kain will take the basket from your hand. Aflahan kain, also over there by the shlamim, it refers to the kain. Now, so too, we can learn the other way, true. Malahalam balam, just like over there by the shlamim, it's the pasuk is referring to the owner, because it says in the pasuk, Yavi es karboni lashem mizbeach shlamim, he brings his carbon shlamim to the mizbeach, his carbon that's bringing to Hashem, and it says over there, Yadav Tevien, his hand will bring it. So we see it's referring to the owner. So Avkambam, Sirosa, it's referring to the owner. So okay, so what do you mean? How are you learning from each one that it's the Kohen and that it's the Bailam? That says, Reb Lezer ben Yaakov, Maniach Kohen Yadav Tachas Yadei Bailam Umeinav. Yeah, they both do it together. The Kohen places his hands underneath the hands of the owners, and together they lift up the basket of Bikurim. And that's how the halach of tenuva is done, by Bikurim and Shlamim, that actually both the kohen and the owner do both together. But one thing that we see is that he learns that the halach of tenuva from halachach ha-kohen t'midech, when he takes it from you and they lift it up together, that's where he knows it from, so therefore he has the extra word v'nachte to tell you that we see the word hanocha two times, which whenever it's repeated by kachem, the halacha two times, it shows that it's ma'akiv. He's that first teaching Rabbi Yechon and said hanocha is ma'akiv. The second one says not, was Rabbi Huda, who learns that from the word v'hinachte, the teaching of tenufa, and therefore you don't have a repetition for hanocha to say that it's ma'akiv.